Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, the founder and senior wealth advisor. And my guest today has been a friend of mine for a very long time. And she has given me so much input and advice and leadership on dealing with this whole idea of aging and what does it mean and what's happening in the world. And, you know, I look at myself and had this big birthday of 75 years, and I'm really blessed. I feel so healthy. I feel like I'm going to keep on going. I mean, like the little energy bunny. But, you know, we never know when that battery is going to run out, and we don't know exactly what it looks like. And it could be something as difficult as a fall that, you know, that you have to deal with. So my guest today is Annalee Krieger, and she is the president and owner of CareRight. And she has been working with our clients for years. And welcome to the show, Annalee.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
You know, I really, really wanted to just help my listeners have an overview of what are we really facing with this aging process? So often we think about aging as retirement, but we don't think of what that looks like. And certainly for adult children and for the caregivers themselves. And if you could just give us that overview of where are we at right now in 2024 as we are leading into this next half of 2025.
Oh my gosh, so much. That's a loaded question. So here's just kind of bullet point items of where we are in the world today of family caregiving, aging, dementia, all of that. You know, when families, you know, I've been in this industry now for over 30 years, and half of those years as a consultant to families across the country, family caregivers. Now, 30 years ago, when I first started working in the senior care dementia space, families literally lived down the street from each other, and they were much more, it seems like they were much more team oriented, meaning working together as a family team or a family unit to identify and address the needs of aging parents because they were right there. But unfortunately, as families started moving away from each other, you know, kids move to California or wherever to get jobs or married or whatever, if they didn't invest the time, energy, effort, and resources in maintaining the relationships with each other as siblings, then when they get that crisis call that mom fell, she hit her head on the kitchen sink, and now she's got a, you know, subdural hematoma and she's in the ICU, what are we going to do? The kids, it seems like, have to get reacquainted with each other and then figure out, okay, what are we going to do with mom? And what if mom was a caregiver to dad who has dementia? Who's going to take care of dad? Our typical client or our typical family profile is it's rare these days to have a family where there's people that where the family unit is actually still next to each other. So usually it's someone having to spend $1,200 on airfare every time they have to get to Arizona from Milwaukee or wherever it is that they live, because that's where mom and dad live and mom fell and what are we supposed to do? So the landscape of families is different. And so not only from a geographic and demographic perspective, but also just when you're not there to really see what's going on with your aging parents, kids seem to just assume that their parents are doing well at home. And I am here to tell you that they're not always doing well. And they, because the kids don't always know what to look for or what questions to ask when they do talk to their parents or when they do come and visit, they miss these red flags that are blaring. They're like obviously red flags, but the adult kids may not know what to look for, or there's always that smidge or bigger smidge of denial that always comes into play. So they ignore those red flags, which could be weight loss. You know, if mom's clothes aren't fitting or she's not eating well and she's having weight loss, that's a trigger, a red flag that things aren't going well. Every time you get that call that, oh, mom is in the ER again, obviously things aren't going well. Or mom missed three doctor's appointments because she can't leave dad home alone because he'll wander away if she tries to leave him. Those are all red flags.
Bills aren't being paid. Bills aren't being paid.
Yeah, there's a thousand red flags and people don't know what to look for, you know, or unfortunately, and you see this possibly in your line of work, is the kids don't necessarily notice things until their parents have been scammed, or their car insurance didn't renew, and now they're in a car. The kid, you know, mom and dad are in a car accident, and you're getting the call from the police that it's like, well, they don't even have insurance. So there's all these red flags and things that adult kids don't necessarily know to look for or to check on when they do see their parents. Another issue that causes some of this problem is that, you know, employers aren't as, doesn't seem that employers are as family friendly as they used to be. So nowadays you're so replaceable. If you don't hit your sales targets or get your projects done on time, or you know, the needs of aging parents can, you know, derail people's careers, and employers aren't as family friendly as they are. They used to be, you know, 30 years ago, they'd be like, yeah, take whatever time off you need. Well, that's not necessarily the way it is anymore, because if you're not producing the results that the employer is expecting, you're at risk of losing your job. And so knowing that the typical employee might get 2 to 4 weeks of vacation a year, and you have, you know, mom and dad, but then you also have the in-laws, and then you also have the blended families. There's only so many vacation days to go around and still feel like you actually took time off. So there's a lot of reasons why our elderly parents slip through the cracks, because families aren't there as much as they used to. They assume that things are going better than they are. They ignore the red flags. Like, we know that 48% of people discharged from a hospital stay don't implement the discharge plans. They might not get the therapy sessions that they're supposed to get. They might not have the follow-up doctor's appointments that they're supposed to have. They might not have changed out their pill box because they're still weak, or they're tired, or they can't drive yet because they just had hip surgery.
And they're depressed.
They're in pain.
And frightened.
And they're scared, and they're still not on tip-top shape, you know? They don't send you home from the hospital when you're 100%. When you're good enough, then you can discharge from the hospital, right? So we know that 48% of people don't follow through with their discharge instructions, and then you wonder why they end up back in the hospital or continually decline, because they never changed out their pill box where they were supposed to add the blood pressure medicine or something like that, or the Lasix for the fluid, you know, to drain the excess fluid. So those are all indications and things that hopefully your listeners are going to be like, ooh, mom was just in the hospital. I should probably check to make sure that she implemented all of those discharge instructions and followed through with it. You know, and typically there's a lot of discharge instructions. And if you even have a little bit of memory impairment, it's hard for them to follow through with those.
You know, Annalie, just recently, I've been doing the Pillows with Wings program, and it's been wonderful. And of course, we have a book on love, loss, and forgiveness. And I recently had in Milwaukee here, a retirement community reach out to me and said, can you come into our facility and do your book? And I said, well, it's really for kindergartners through fourth or fifth grade. And he said, that's exactly what we need.
Yeah.
We need something very simple. He said, because if somebody comes in, often they've lost a spouse, or they've lost their house, they've sold their house, many of their very personal belongings that they had in their home, they move into our facility, and either they do lose a spouse at that time, or they make friends and they lose their friends. Yeah. And it's a constant door of loss, and not no way of knowing how to deal with grief. But he surprised me, and he said, and they have very few visitors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's another thing where a family might think, okay, they're there, now we don't have to worry anymore. But there's still worry, and there's still responsibility and care that needs to be done, even if they've moved into a facility, because there's so much loss.
Right.
Most of they've lost the ability to have their car, and it's one loss after another. So it's not an answer just that they go and live somewhere.
Right. Right. And there's, I mean, that's a whole nother podcast, but just what people don't understand, or what families don't understand. This is why we do aging planning, because I used to run those types of care communities, those CCRCs, the continuing care retirement communities. And every single day for 22 years, I had usually the adult kids in my office, because they're like, well, mom fell, she broke her hip, she's a caregiver to dad with dementia. What are we supposed to do? We can't take time off work. Tour would take about an hour. Here's the room, here's the therapy room, here's this, here's that. But then I was spending 2 and 3 hours at a time with each family, because I would say, well, do your parents have a living will? Power of attorney? Is your dad a veteran? You know, what do they have in place? And they had zero idea, because they'd be like, well, our family never talks about stuff like that. Or when I would talk about, you know, they would ask all these questions about, they just assume Medicare is going to pay for everything, no matter what level of care, no matter what, for how long. And so, and then even with the dementia, they're like, well, I don't understand how dad could be, you know, a CEO of this company, but yet he can't remember to, you know, take his meds. You know, there's just this huge disconnect between like reality and why the kids don't understand what's happening. And that's actually why I started Care Right in the first place, is because families just don't understand aging, dementia, and, you know, how
the process,
that whole process, that aging
process.
And what they don't tend to understand either is, well, a lot of things, but one of the things they just don't understand, and that's why they work with us, is so we can teach them, is that in these care communities, most of them, you have to financially qualify, you have to physically qualify, and cognitively qualify, and behaviorally qualify. And so what happens is when we're working with the families, we get their financial picture, and we're like, okay, well, what's your financial runway of being able to stay at home so that you don't then jeopardize your future care options, right?
Now, this is a good place to take a break. But what if we, coming back, we can talk about that, what you're talking about from the parents' position, mm-hmm. how they feel about reaching out to you and how they feel about it. And I know you and I've had this conversation so often. A parent will say, I have more than enough money, you don't have to worry about a thing. And then, or there's the parent that says, I don't have enough money to buy that medication, I don't have enough money. Mm-hmm. And very often the one that says they have no money has money, and the one that says they're completely set hasn't got the money.
Right.
So let's take a break and talk a little bit about that. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, and I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And as you know, we're located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between Highway 164 and Highway F. We're in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. We're also in the Village of Whitefish Bay, We're in the Equitable Bank building, which is directly across from Winkies. Everybody knows where that is. And of course, we have a beautiful office in Bonita Springs, Florida, but we're not there right now. It's really much too hot. Annalie, yes. That's where you are today.
Yes,
but we love the fact that we can service our clients in Florida as well. My guest today is Annalie Kruger. She is the president and owner of CareRight. And she is a professional speaker. If you're a company out there and this is the type of thing that would be really beneficial for your employees, if you want to give them an absolutely wonderful gift, is to educate them, because the truth of it is we're all growing older much quicker than I thought I would. She helps families plan ahead before a medical crisis, and then she helps guide those families and the aged loved ones. And you know, one of the things that I know we do, and I know you do too, is really work hard to facilitate those difficult conversations. And then you're so aware of all of the different resources in the communities, which is really helpful. And so often there is that disconnect between the parents and the family members, because the mother or father could say, we're fine. We're absolutely fine. We're financially fine. I know my parents didn't want to talk about finances. I think they always thought that if we knew how much money they had, we would get it or something, you know?
Right.
But the truth of it is that there are two totally different perspectives there.
Mm-hmm. There are. And there's also, you know, when I ask our clients, and our client is the whole family, right? It's mom and dad, if they're able to participate in their plan. And I should say that my goal is always to reach families and do proactive planning. But the reality is 92% of our families come to us in crisis mode, where there's a hospital stay or a death of a primary caregiver or dementia progression. And it just, the kids finally, it occurred to them like, oh, things aren't going well. We should probably figure out what we're going to do. Or on the flip side, mom and dad are like, oh, you know, mom is the primary caregiver to dad with dementia. And she's like, you know, I am not having good health. I am not in good health. And I'm afraid of what's going to happen to my husband if I take ill, or if I have to have surgery, or if I die first. That is on the mind of many, many primary caregiver elderly spouses. So for example, recently I had a consult with the mom who was in her 80s, and she's like, oh, Annalie, I read your book. And she goes, my worst fear happened. I was trying to catch my husband from falling, and we both fell down and I broke my shoulder, and I'm his primary caregiver because he has dementia and he needs help with toileting, bathing, and dressing and grooming, and I can't do it now because I broke my shoulder. And so I share this because she was like, oh, I need an aging plan. This is because I explained what all that entails. And she's like, that's exactly what I need, because what keeps me up at night is what's going to happen to my husband if something happens to me first. So she's like very clear about what her goal is. And she admits she'd been burned out for the last 2 to 3 years, because as dementia progresses, it's the caregiver snowball, right? It starts out feeling manageable, but with dementia, that's a 24/7 job. And she was already in that position of 24/7. So then she's like, can you talk to my kids and do the same consult with my sons and me? And I said, well, of course. And so I went through the whole thing and I said, we have to safeguard your mother because she's the primary caregiver to your dad. And with dementia, their brain is shrinking, shrinking, shrinking. And that's why you see such significant changes in their mood, behavior, personality, and care needs and attention span and all of those things. And long story short, she decided not to move forward because her sons didn't see the value of putting a plan in place, even though I said, we have to safeguard your mom, because we know that 63% of elderly people who are primary caregivers to a spouse or to a loved one die prematurely. They have a 63% mortality rate. So sure enough, they didn't move forward, and mom died within the last month. And it's I bring this up because it's frustrating to me to try to educate people about what is going to happen to them if we don't put a plan in place, right? Like when you ask about, let's talk about from the parent's perspective. She saw the writing on the wall, and her worst fear happened. Her worst fear when she was alive was that something was going to happen to her and who's going to take care of my husband because he needs 24/7 care and she was the one providing it. And so the worst fear happened is she died, you know, from not only the fall injury, but just because she was already in such ill health from neglecting her own needs to, so that she could take care of her husband who has 24/7 needs with his dementia. And that's what's so sad is when the parents especially want to put a plan in place, but the kids ignore the extreme concern that their parent is expressing, right? On the flip side is when the adult kids can see the writing on the wall because they've already had to miss work, or, you know, my typical family, each person in the family or the primary caregiver adult kid in the family, the year before they worked with us on an aging plan, they've shelled out $25,000 in emergency airfare. And that's just emergency airfare. Because if you live in New York and your parents live in Tucson, Arizona, and you get that crisis call that mom fell again or she's in the hospital, airfare isn't $69 on Frontier. It's like $1,000 at a pop, right? So that's just the cost of airfare. That's not every time the phone rings, you're like, oh my God, what happened now? Or missed work. Or some of these people, you know, they have their own ill spouse that they're taking care of. So they have to put care in place for their own ill spouse and then fly to wherever to take care of, you know, an ill aging parent now too. So I bring that up is because it's just important that if you want to have as a family the best possible care outcomes, family relationship outcomes, and financial cost outcomes, you have to be putting a plan in place. And
you know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, several years ago, I was working with a client. Actually, you and I were working together on this client. Mm-hmm. And it was a husband and wife, and the wife had those same fears. And they had children, and one of the children, who sort of was the leader of the troop, yep. We had talked to them about having some type of care plan in place. They didn't do it. Well, Dad died, yep. And Mom was left alone, and there was nobody ever talked about what they did for each other because they look perfectly healthy together. But you know, what I have learned is that so many people, they cover up for each other.
Right.
And they don't talk about what's not working. And in this case, she wanted to go to a retirement community where they had full care, but one of the children absolutely was adamant that they should move closer to her and she would take care of them. And as it turned out, of course, she worked and she couldn't be there. But we were in a meeting doing a review and I asked her how things were going and I could tell that she was just not herself. And when her daughter walked out of the room, she said, I don't sleep at night because I'm afraid I will fall. Because whenever I had to get up to go to the bathroom, her husband would wake up. She'd wake him up until she came back to the bed. So she didn't go to the bathroom. So she wasn't drinking. And I said, we have to tell your daughter this. Mm-hmm. And the daughter's intention was so good to keep her close to her mom, Bear. But we can't always give those services. And sometimes it's the things that we don't even think about. But she was scared to death to get up and go to the bathroom at night.
Yep. And with our family meetings that we facilitate, we take them through all of what's working well at home, what's not working well at home. And it's a good eye opener for the adult kids because then they really understand if they're coachable, then they really do understand what's really going on. And then we can talk about, okay, that's great that you want to age in place at home because most people do, but do you really have the $30,000 a month to be able to spend in staying at home care? Cause that's how much 24/7 care usually costs depending on where people are in the country. I have people paying anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000 a month to stay at home because if you need two caregivers 24/7 for two aging parents or a 6'5" father and a demented mother, they're not going to just send out one caregiver, right? So now you're paying 60 grand a month. And so that's why we do that aging plan is like, okay, how long, what's your financial runway? How long can you afford to do that? And we need to look at plan B of if you can't stay at home because you can't afford it, or there's just some, the healthcare system is really broken. We don't have enough healthcare workers right now. So to fill a 24/7 shift, I have a client in New York. It's taking four home care companies to partner together to then be able to actually have enough workers to fill the 24/7 need.
My guest today is Annalee Krieger. She is the president and founder and owner of CareRight. And you can reach her. I'll give the number out now, but we will also give it out again later. It's 239-770-6322 and also 262-422-3443. She works in Wisconsin and in Florida and actually all around the country with different families. We'll take a break, and when we come back, let's take a look at some of those hurdles that kids are facing, because we're talking about it now and it sounds like all these kids just don't want to do it for some reason or don't really understand it. But there's the other side of the coin too, is where children just really can't often help, or they aren't financially able, or they don't, they're working and trying to support their own family. And it's a dilemma. It's a big dilemma. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Annalee Krieger. She is the president and owner of CareRight, and she does all kinds of things with families. She also, as I said earlier, speak at an event for you. These are such important issues, and most people don't even realize they're happening. You know, we don't know what we don't know. And sometimes, I mean, I know myself when my mother was alive, I often would go into the refrigerator and there'd be all this food in there. And I'd say, Mom, you've got all this leftover food. Well, I don't want to throw it away. And I'd open it up and it would be icky, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess those are signs. And sometimes we don't even want to see them.
Yeah. And that's another sign. And we encourage the families, you know, this is, we have a whole process, you know, a whole checklist. This is what you need to do when you do go see them. Or these are the questions, you know, if you're going to kind of take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and do your own kind of due diligence on what's really going on at your parents' house. These are the things you need to do. These are the questions and how to ask them so that you can actually get the real, as much of a real scoop of what's going on. But you're right, they cover for each other, you know, because of dignity and independence and things like that. But I can also share with you that so many of the adult kids will tell me, you know, Mom and Dad, I wish that you would have, you know, been honest with me, because they look at it as being dishonest. Well, why didn't you tell me you were struggling? Or why didn't you tell me that Dad's dementia was so bad that you weren't sleeping at night? If we would have known that ahead of time, you know, we would have been able to support you better. So
when, what I've noticed in families too, is that any of the issues that were there when they were younger, the sibling issues are like so emphasized when it comes to who should do what, or who shouldn't be doing what, or one that isn't involved at all. And the bossy one, you know, I've heard that, well, she's the bossy one. And it can often separate a family.
Oh, it sure does. 85% of our families, I'm doing family mediation with them, because you know, you would hope that the aging process or dementia or caregiving would bring families together, but I am here to tell you it does not. And so if there were already cracks or wedges or fractures in those family relationships, and we're still 30 years away from when Brother Donald said something stupid at Thanksgiving, and the family doesn't know, they don't have the skill set internally to repair that conflict and that wedge in the relationship, just wait until you get that crisis call that, you know, Mom wandered away and she got hit by a car. And now what are we going to do with her? Because she needs care, right? So that's why, that's why so many of our families, I'm doing mediation with them alongside of their crisis planning with their family meetings, because now their relationships are even more on fire than they were. And emotions are high and time is limited. And no one ever feels good about making decisions at that point. So,
you know, Annalie, I did not have a great relationship with my mother growing up. I had two sisters that had a great relationship with them, but I didn't. And so as my mother was going through these things, it was also hard for me to get over some of my own emotions and want to step into that role of giving back to someone who I never felt that close to or comfortable with. So there's a lot of things that go on in families, but if you don't really understand and if no one's willing to talk about it, you really can't have a resolution. You can't really put a plan together, because the truth is you do have to work together. And we were able to do that as a family for both my mom and my dad, but it was tricky. Mm-hmm. And it was a difficult thing. And even though my mother had the power of attorney for healthcare, when it really came down to making that decision to end my, to not facilitate my mother's life, she was on, she was getting, oh, I can't even think of it. When you go every 3 days, she was on the dialysis. And finally, my mother just said, I can control this. I don't want to do it anymore. It was really hard for my sister to make that decision. And we all were just sort of standing there, like, make the decision. But those are things to really talk about. And it makes life so much better. And particularly, you've got your grandkids there. And you want this to, you want it to be a harmonious relationship. Can you talk about some of the really good stories that you see? Because people do this planning. Because every family is a little bit different. And there are some absolutely beautiful outcomes when people really take that initiative to work together as a family and to work with their parents. And it isn't when crisis starts, it's you're working with your parents all along.
Yeah. And that's the value proposition. You know, if you want to have the best possible outcomes, literally in every way, it's ideal when you can work together as a family. Now, some families, for whatever reason, that they're just not able to because of, you know, family dynamics or, you know, drug addiction or whatever, when they have a neutral third party to facilitate their family meetings, because I'm here to tell you that I don't care how close-knit a family is, they really do benefit from a neutral third party person to say, here, if we're going to be putting a plan in place for care and family relationships and safeguarding those relationships, you need someone who's actually experienced in family meetings, but also knows the whole care industry so that you can actually work together and make informed decisions. So what's beautiful when people start working together is I've had so many families that they just had so much relationship strain for decades, so long that some of them didn't even remember why they weren't talking in the first place. And the sad thing is that every single one of them says, I wasted decades of energy being angry and mad and resentful. And so one of the side effects of that is not only emotional health of the people who are angry all the time, but also they didn't let their kids play together. So a lot of these cousins don't even have relationships with each other. And that to me is sad, because some of my favorite memories are with my cousins growing up, right? So restoring those hurt relationships that have hurt in them, restoring those relationships has been really a powerful skill set that, you know, those of us that are seasoned and trained in this are able to see families just start to really blossom and flourish. Nobody wants to spend so much time and energy just in so much anger and resentment, right? And so other value propositions are like side effects of having a plan and working together is you're making informed decisions. So that way there's no one blindsided when they learn that staying at home could cost $30,000 a month, you know, or they're not blindsided about dad's dementia progressing because we've trained them and educated them on what to expect as this dementia progresses. So when you're informed and educated in aging, caregiving, costs of care options, you make informed decisions instead of being willy-nilly about it. So you have much better care outcomes. Another example is when people understand, when you talked about like people who have money or don't have money, you know, when you think about, okay, what is your financial threshold of being able to stay at home? You know, maybe we can do the $30,000 for the first 3 months, but then what? And so when families are making educated decisions about where that care is going to come from, who's going to provide the care so that no one feels overburdened, But also then, what's the long-term solution? Because kids stopping in and stuff, that's just not sustainable. We've got to work. You know, most people have kids and, you know, it's just not sustainable for adult kids to be flop, you know, stopping in all the time. And so when there's an aging plan and they know, okay, this is, I'm on the waiting list of these three or four different care communities, and I know that they have a waiting list and I'm on it, and that gives me peace of mind, then that's how they have the best possible care outcomes. Because when they don't have a plan in place and they don't have a plan A and a plan B and a plan C, then that's when mom and dad end up crashing at your house thinking it's just going to be temporary. And then 6 months later, they're still there. And now their care needs have snowballed to the point that now your husband is like, you got to get your parents out of here. And you're like, I can't, I promise them, you know, or you're taking time off work because you know, dad has 17 doctor's appointments this month, and your boss is like, look, you got to get this together because otherwise you're going to lose your job, right? So there's the value of putting that plan in place so that all along the way, you're making informed, smart, preferably proactive decisions so that you can all have the best family relationships. Money is not being spent foolishly because you're making informed decisions, and you're not blindsided by the landscape of senior care and how costly it is, whether to stay at home or how costly it is to move into a care community. And you're getting, when you're on the waiting list and you do frequent tours, you know, and you're on the waiting list, you have a higher probability of getting into a place that you at least have familiarity with. When people don't do any of this type of planning that we do, they end up in whichever facility has an open bed. And I promise you, it's not necessarily going to be a good fit.
My guest today is Annalee Kruger. She is the president and owner of CareRight, and you can look at their website, carerightinc.com, to get more information and to contact Annalee. And with that, we're going to take our last break. And when we come back, let's talk about a little bit about self-care, which is so important. And then also, you have a very exciting thing coming up. You are actually hosting a cruise November 30th to December 7th, and it's a round trip from Fort Lauderdale, Florida
to the Caribbean.
To the Caribbean. How exciting is that? When we get back, we'll get into the details. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you'd like to know more about Ellenbecker, you can go to ellenbecker.com, put a face with a voice. And today we're talking with Annalee Kruger, and she is the president and owner of CareRight. And she can help you to put that plan in place and to simplify things, because there's so much noise already in the world. And I remember when my kids were little and we had those little monitors, we were always listening. I would, even though I knew the monitor was there, I was waking up all night, every night. And when you don't get enough sleep, you're on edge, you can't really perform at all. And so there's a whole concept around self-care and taking care of yourself so you can be a good caregiver and you aren't one of those that pass away early because of giving care. And one of the fun things that Annalee is going to talk about today is that they've come up with a really great trip. And so, Annalee, I'll let you finish out the segment.
Excellent. All right. Self-care is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself, because you as a caregiver are the glue holding everything together. So we always talk about with our clients about we have to safeguard you as the family caregiver, because if something happens to you, because at some point it will, then what? So I'm really excited because I partnered with Kathy Schoaf. She's actually a registered nurse, but she's also a certified travel agent. And so her niche business is providing dementia-friendly cruises all across the world. And so to date, she has done 54, now 55, she just got back, 55 cruises that are specifically designed for family members who are in the dementia journey. The mission is that no, just because of a dementia diagnosis, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to travel anymore as a family. So she has put so many safeguards and measures in place so that families who are taking care of someone in the dementia journey can still bring their loved one with them on these trips. So it's a very white glove approach. She or someone from her team actually meets the family at the airport so that the family doesn't have to worry about their loved one wandering away or getting lost when they go to the bathroom and those kind of things. And it's a staff ratio of 1 to 3 or 1 to 4 people with dementia. While I have the family caregivers in sessions with me, educational seminars with me and caregiver circles, she and her team of dementia certified specialists and physical therapists will be providing adult daycare programming for the loved one with memory impairment. So that way, the family caregivers and the rest of the family can be in learning circles and learning sessions with me, understanding self-care and why it's critical and why you have to schedule it. And, you know, getting your life back on track so that you as the primary caregiver or family caregivers don't allow caregiving to derail your careers, your health, your finances, and your family relationships. So it's a white glove approach. Cruise November 30th through December 7th. You have the link that you can provide to your listeners, but it's a jam-packed cruise with all things fun, daycare for your loved one with memory impairment, sessions with me while we're out at sea. We leave out of Fort Lauderdale, we go to Half Moon Cay, then we go to Ocho Rios, the Grand Cayman, and then Cozumel, and then back up to Fort Lauderdale. So it's November 30th through December 7th. What we call the cruisers, get is they have many hours of sessions with me on understanding dementia, self-care. They'll get a grab-and-go binder. They'll get a copy of my book, The Invisible Patient, The Emotional, Financial, and Physical Toll of Family Caregivers, and then goodie bags as well. And that way the family can just get restored. And the pictures of your mom or your dad paddle boating or enjoying the cruise, we really want this to be like the best cruise possible for families with memory impairment. A lot of times this could be the last cruise, depending on people's health. It could be their very last cruise. And so we want to make this a very magical experience for them.
Do they go to your website for that?
Yeah. So the link is kind of long, but Elite. So it's Elite Cruises and Vacations Travel.com. /caregivers.
So the and link, if they aren't able to write that down, they're driving, can they go to your website or how do they get it?
You actually can. You can go to my CareRight Inc. website. So CareRight, which is RIGHT Inc.com. And when you go to my website, there's like this text box that pops up and says, hey, learn about the dementia friendly cruise. You can also find it there as well.
That would be great. So Annalee, we just have a little bit of time left. What are some of the tips that you want to give to our listeners today on taking this next step? Or, you know, a lot of people are doing vacations during the summer. What are some of the things that they can be looking for?
So if you're going to, first of all, if you're wanting to take vacation, but you're not wanting to take, so say you have a loved one with memory impairment and say you don't want to take them with you on a trip, wherever it is you're going, you can leverage respite care, whether it's bringing care into the home while you're gone, or you can look for care communities that offer respite. And that way your loved one can move into a community while you're on vacation and then they're kind of on their own little vacation too. So that's one tip. Another thing, just because this comes up literally every day, is I'm scheduled to have hip surgery, but how am I supposed to take care of my spouse? He needs me 24/7. Again, home care or respite care for your spouse, the care recipient. And then one more tip is start these conversations as families. Like we need, you know, leverage this podcast. We talked about aging. We talked about family caregiving, dementia. Leverage this podcast as a conversation starter and then reach out and say, hey, we'd like to learn more about what this aging planning is.
And if you go to ellenbecker.com and go to Money Sense, you can just use this podcast. You can forward it to your children. You can forward it to your parents. And as Annalee says, it's a great place to start a conversation. My guest today is Annalee Krieger. She is the president and owner of CareRight. And you can give her a call at 262-422-3443 or go to carerightinc.com. Annalee, thank you so much for being a guest today. I will definitely have you back because this is a climate that is forever changing. Mm-hmm. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a really great day. Bye-bye.